three, two, one. Boom. Welcome to Medical, episode 193. I'm Corey, and here's Daryl.
Yo.
What is up, my man? We're gonna do a let's see, what is the word for it? We're gonna do a very fast speed round. That's what it is. We speed round take.
We're gonna do a brief
on the restricted update. Yeah, brief take, speed round. You know, lightning fast.
Lightning round.
That's it. Thank you. That was what I was looking for. So there's a lot to talk about here, but I think we can keep it concise. We don't need to talk about standard too much, so we'll just mention the bands there. But before we do have to mention our wonderful host, or sponsor, I should say, manatraders.com. Use the promo code MODERNMEDICAL, all one word, for 14% off your first 3 months at checkout. Boom. All right, now let's get to it. Ban-restricted announcement. They announced last week that they're going to be doing something that affected the companion mechanic today. And they're also going to be banning some cards in standard and historic. Now, historic is a suspension more than a ban because it can be taken off the ban list. It's really the same thing. There's no need for that confusion, really. They could unban something. Whatever. Doesn't matter.
Yep.
Anyways, the point is, standard, Agent of Treachery, and Fires of Invention are gone. I haven't played a lot of standard, aside from my arena experiences. Daryl, I know you don't play a ton of standard, but quick take on that first.
Agent of Treachery is busted. Like, I actually built a Yorion Commander deck because I had a Commander deck for Blue Light Blink, and it was busted. Like, Agent of Treachery busted in Commander. So yeah. Busted in Commander, probably busted in Standard, because there's that, like, 4-mana thing that if you attack with a non-human, you get a human.
Yeah.
In your top six, Winota, I think it is.
Winota.
Like, that thing drops that guy into play, and then Luka, you just turn, like, Yorion or some generic 4-mana creature or token, if you're not playing creatures at all, into Agent of Treachery, and then you just blink it with Yorion and just, like, do that. That seems miserable. And then Fires of Invention, you just can't give people ways to cheat on mana. Like, free spells are OP. So giving people big free spells is OP. Like,
yeah, it's something that has been, like, kind of on and off for a while. And then I think it was this Jeskai Luka deck that put it over the edge. And that was the combination of Fires of Invention, Luka into Agent of Treachery. Yorion out of the companion zone. So now then I'm wondering if, like, a lot of times when you see bans in standard, it kind of alerts older format players' attention to, hey, this is pretty powerful. And I'm wondering if there is going to be some format like Pioneer, for example, where they might look to this deck to kind of resemble a Pioneer port over for it. Do you think that there's any potential for Agent of Treachery Winota or, like, Luka Agent of Treachery in Pioneer?
You'll have to forgive me, because it's been a while since I've looked at Pioneer. I played a lot of Modern, and that's it, really. So Healing Rye still banned in Pioneer, right?
Correct.
Okay, because there's a really busted version of this deck in Modern where you have, like, Saheeli Rai and Luka and Felidar Guardian, and you get to do that whole thing. Like, you can use that as a whole combo. So, like, if you don't have Saheeli, you can turn your Felidar Guardians into Agent Treacheries. You know, like, that's kind of busted. But since the Saheeli combo is not in there, it might be less good, but, I mean, if you can put together, like, you could do some sort of Jeskai Yorion control style thing where either you play no creatures or you play, like, smaller creatures that, like, walls or something like that, if you turn into Agent of Treacheries for 5 mana.
Yeah.
But then you kind of decrease the effectiveness of Luka. So it's like you really only have one mode on Luka if you do that strategy. So just have to find other good creatures to put into play, like Ulamog or something like that, something to cheat on. But something that might be castable. So, I mean, totally, I think, reasonable to look at Agent of Treachery in Pioneer. May not be, like, tier one. I think there's got to be some sort of broken Fires deck, though. Like,
yeah.
So, like, Fires has got to be broken somehow in that format. I don't know how, but it has to be busted.
Yeah, I'm surprised it hasn't seen a ton of play. I know when the format first started, there are people experimenting with it. I think Pioneer has become something completely different lately with the companions. So, you know, the change to those rules is likely going to breathe some life into some older strategies as well. So we'll see.
New life.
Agent of Treachery, is very interesting in that it is an ETB effect rather than a cast. And that means that, you know, like, yes, it costs a lot to cast it outright, but it's so easily abusable by blink effects, you know, as we've seen in Standard. I think that there's something there that you'd be interested in for, you know, Pioneer, at least, you know, alongside like Restoration Angel type of effects. So I don't know. That and the aforementioned Felidar Guardian, fancy, right? Like, we're already talking about that one in Modern. Without Saheeli Rai, there might not be, you know, enough incentive to play Felidar Guardian, but there's something else.
Well,
I'm sure.
I actually think if you play like a Yorion deck, like if Agent of Treachery is your top end, there's like a big payoff here, because like Felidar Guardian lets you blink things on both people's turns.
Yeah.
Because I mean, I just don't know how familiar people are with this. If you put a Yorion into play and you blink a Felidar Guardian, it returns to play and it blinks Yorion till the next end step. So Yorion leaves play. Or no, it's instantaneously. That's why it works. So Yorion instantaneously blinks and blinks all of your stuff and it leaves play. And then it returns on the next end step. So you get the Yorion trigger on both end steps for the rest of the game.
Yeah.
Like you get Yorion blinking all of your stuff until they kill Yorion for the rest of the game. So if you have some other sort of flicker effect, like Teferi's Time Twist, some instant speed flicker effect, or you play Teferi Time Raveler and just leave it in play so they can't kill your Yorion unless it's a sorcery speed, in which case like things like Teferi's Time Twist come into play. You could do something like that with Demonic Pact. So like Yorion blinking Demonic Pact, resetting your Demonic Pacts with Felidar Guardian to reset your Demonic Pacts, Thoughtseize and discard Omen of the Sea to like smooth your draws out. Like there's something that could be said there to have like Agent of Treachery be a part of that mix.
Yeah,
if that's
something
you want to try and do. But
I've seen like Demonic Pact recently, actually. I think it was a Doom Foretold Demonic Pact deck.
That's nice.
So there might be some kind of Esper concoction that can be done there.
Yeah.
Huh.
But that's my two cents on Agent of Treachery's potential in Modern. Or in Pioneer. I do think, though, we need to read off this companion one, which I have pulled up on my phone because I'm smart.
Yeah, before we leave Standard, though, I just want to mention that the cause to these bans was that the decks, the Fires of Invention decks that play these, have a 55% win rate. And on paper, that doesn't seem like too much. Like, it's just over 50%, right? But where does WotC start to draw the line where they think, okay, this deck is maybe a little overpowered? Because in any other game, like, yes, achieving 50% is great and it would make for a completely balanced meta, but I think it's almost impossible. 55% doesn't. What do you think? Is there a number where they're like, okay, once we start to reach 53, 54, we're going to start to, like, you know, put up the red flags and take a look at this more closely, or what?
I think 55% is a good indicator, because like, you know, a lot of players are like, I want to have a 50-50 matchup against a deck and like try and leverage my play skill, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So like 50-50 matchups, like if everything is 50% across the board, that means you can leverage your play skill to wins, like theoretically, like the skilled player should win more often. But when you start to get to where things are 55-60%, that's when the format is saying this deck is so good that it doesn't matter how bad you play, it still bails you out.
Yeah.
And so I think 55% is the number. Like 55% is actually a surprise to me. 55% is where I'd probably start to go, maybe we watch and see if we can make a change. And then 60% is, okay, there's something has to go. Like, that's too high of a win percentage. And I would also look at the non-mirror matches. Because if
60%
with the mirror matches where you're, you know, 80% against the rest of the field, you know, that's not great.
I think that is considered. I think they only consider the non-mirror matches. It does not say that specifically in this announcement, but oftentimes they refer to that. Now, real quick though, bans have become so common lately. My wondering is, like, what is historically the most egregious win rate that we've had? Can you think of a deck that's likely put up like 60 plus? Like, did Hogak do it? Did the Eldrazi decks in Eldrazi Winter do it?
In any, like, this is the stuff I don't have the data on. So if I look at like probably the whole of Magic, Lin Sivi Rebels is probably one that had a very high
standard percentage. Or block.
That was standard.
Okay.
I believe. Talarian Academy decks and standard were miserable because they got Memory Jar and stuff like that. And then like Skull Clamp Affinity.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, those were met with quick bans.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, Skull Clamp Affinity was quickly banned. It was not quickly banned. It survived for a while.
Okay.
Like, it took someone finding it, and then people were just like, oh, this is just the best thing. And, like, tournament participation just sank because people weren't really on board with the Skull Clamp Affinity mirrors and stuff. So, like, eventually they banned it for, like, the first time in, like, a decade. They banned something in Standard. But, yeah, like, those are the things I can think of. Because I just don't follow Standard win rates enough to know. But, like, realistically, the thing I would be the most concerned about with something like Agent of Treachery or Fire Zone Mention is like creating a miserable play pattern.
Oh yeah, it's awful.
Yeah,
it invalidates a lot of the big mana strategies where your entire deck's MO is to get up to cast something like a Galta, for example, and then your opponent merely just takes it. So
yeah, just agent take your thing. Yeah, I was gonna say the Fall of Thran seems like a card that would be one to avoid in these situations, but it actually shuts off Fire Zone Mention. But yeah, like, not great.
I'm curious, not just for Standard, but for Modern, you know, Legacy, Vintage. So if anyone that's listening knows the answer to that question, if you can name like the most, you know, the highest win rate deck before a ban, I'd love to know what that is, or, you know, get close to that information, because I'm curious. Yeah. Again, 55 does not sound like a lot to me. I know that this deck is all over the damn place, but just over half seems like an inevitability of having so many cards in the mix for a format. It would be very difficult to achieve a perfect 50% for every deck.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Historic, what am I saying? Companion. You want to read that off?
Oh, well, now I got to pull it back up, man.
Oh, all right. I have it otherwise. I can do it.
I have it.
Okay.
So companion rules changes. While Magic rules changes aren't normally a part of the ban restricted update, in this case, we are introducing a change to the companion mechanic that is motivated by game balance and metagame share across play environments. Effective with this update, the companion mechanic and all cards featuring it will now work differently from before. The new version of the mechanic will work as follows. Once per game, anytime you could cast a sorcery during your main phase when the stack is empty, you can pay 3 generic mana to put your companion from your sideboard into your hand. This is a special action, not an activated ability. It happens immediately and cannot be responded to. It cannot be countered or stopped by cards like Phyrexian Revoker. Our reason for making this change is based on metagame data and play rates of companion decks across all formats, and on player feedback on repetitive gameplay patterns. As a group, decks using companions have too high win rates and metagame share in Standard, Pioneer, and Modern, and have already necessitated bans in Legacy and Vintage. This trend represents a long-term problem for the health and diversity of all formats, rather than to go down the path of making several individual adjustments to the ban list for each format. We feel the better solution is to reduce the advantage gained from using a companion across the board. The result we intend is to reduce the metagame share of companion decks while still capturing the spirit of the mechanic's design and still having companions be worth building around in many cases. We expect this new version of the companion mechanic will result in a deck-building challenge and means of self-expression that some players can opt into rather than being a huge part of the competitive metagame. Mm-hmm. We discussed several alternate rules changes, but ultimately settled on this one as it best mitigates the potential for repetitive gameplay and provides a wider window of interaction. By charging additional mana, playing a companion becomes less efficient relative to playing the other cards the player has drawn. In this way, players are more likely to cast their other spells before their companion, resulting in more divergent game paths. Next, this additional mana will often slow the companion down by a turn, allowing the opponent to interact with it while in the companion player's hand, or otherwise giving the opponent an additional turn to plan ahead before the companion hits the battlefield. It's rare that we use a rules change to address a metagame balance, and this isn't something we have plans to do in the future. In this case, the issue wasn't with one individual card, but rather the companions as a group. We believe the solution is preferable to potentially needing to make multiple bands across different formats over time. End statement.
I like it. Hey, this didn't involve banning anything that's in print. This involved a tweak to a card that maybe makes like some of them completely unplayable, but it's still possible to build it around. If you're committed to the plan of having a companion as your game plan, paying 3 mana is a lot to ask compared to nothing, but it certainly brings them down to earth a little bit. I think it's a great solution.
I don't dislike it at all.
Okay. Good. Here, this is interesting to me. It says, what does it say? It's rare that we use a rules change to address metagame balance, and this isn't something we have plans to do in the future. Why not? I think this is a great way to do it. When they come up with something experimental like the companion mechanic and they leave it vague like that, it almost feels like it's done on purpose so that it can be tweaked if something new, you know, is out of balance. Like, for example, if we had planeswalkers that don't have explanations of how planeswalkers function, and in Lorwyn, like, Jace Beleren came out and just crushed everything, we could address the way that they are attacked, we could address the way that their loyalty abilities are activated, and we have, really, you know, the way that the damage is dealt and redirected to planeswalkers. It's great. I love that idea. It's our version of making nerfs to characters and cards, such as the way that they do it in, like, Overwatch or League of Legends or whatever.
Right. And this is where you're going straight to the kind of games I was going to go to: Hearthstone and Legends of Runeterra and various various other digital card games, which is because the cards aren't physical objects that have value.
Mm-hmm.
They can produce, like, if you've ever played, like, I played Yu-Gi-Oh before I played a lot of Magic. And when cards got errated, they reprinted the card with the new errata. And then the old cards assumed the new errata text. But if you didn't have the new card as a player, a new copy of it, you wouldn't know that the text had actually changed until you got this very feel-bad moment. And so because of that, like, there would be old copies of these kinds of cards floating around if the cards weren't vague enough. And so I'd play my old copy and be like, well, this is just what it does. And somebody goes, well, actually, no, the rules have changed. It does this instead. Like, that's a really feel bad moment that Magic wants to avoid, which is very good.
That's a bad new player experience moment right there, is what that is.
Terrible, terrible new player experience. So because of the printed objects, changing the rules on a card is really awkward. And Oracle text is one of those things that kind of like how some cards just have to have it because they're so not clear how they work.
Yeah,
but it's like bad practice to have to just know the Oracle text of every card as a player. It's a bad player experience, not just new players. So they're trying not to change the rules on things as much as possible, which I 100% am on board with. But if you leave the rules vague enough that you just have to know how this thing works, then I'm good with it. The rules text on companion isn't that vague, which bothers me a little bit because it says you can cast it from your companion zone. So, like, this is one of those things that they should have tried to avoid functionally, but didn't. So, like, they I would have preferred they tack the cost on, because then the text on the printed card doesn't really change. But then as a part of the rules, you know, in the comprehensive rules, you put as a part of casting your companion, exile a card from your hand or do this or do that or whatever.
Any other instance of this type of keyword mechanic would have said companion -3, or maybe even different mana costs for different companions, right? But
yeah,
that aside, it's much better to have the lack of the 3 being printed on the card than it is to have an explanation of a companion mechanic that is just completely wrong on the card.
Absolutely. So like that's my gripe with the solution. I don't hate that they're trying to kind of do something to gate the companions a little bit to slow them down.
Mm-hmm.
The printed object is the thing I have a problem with. I would like this to be instant speed. I don't think it offends me for it to be instant speed to be able to do this.
No, that's dangerous.
I disagree. So like, I mean, I guess maybe you're right, because Demonic Tutor is a little strong. Right? Like, Demonic Tutor is a strong, but you always have to Demonic Tutor for the same thing. So I think we're above, a little above rate on cost. Okay, I just talked myself into it.
You can't, yeah, if you can't interact with it.
I just talked myself into it. Torsary speed is fine.
Like, I just want you to imagine Teferi Time Raveler being hated more.
Yeah. So, like, here's a change I'd be interested if they thought of, which is, like, you know, if you had, like, maybe it's, like, casting a spell.
Uh-huh.
And if it gets countered, you cannot access your companion for the rest of the game. I would be interested if they thought of that. It's non-interactable by discard, but then you can interact with the discard with it by, they cast the spell and instant speed to go get their companion and put it in their hand. And then if you have discard, you can interact with it. Like, that would be what I would have tried,
yeah,
as a person. But like, maybe they tried that and it was bad. So, but like, I talked myself into being okay with sorcery speed. But I'm just a blue player, which is why I was like, I just want to do it in instant speed. So I can hold up the couch spell and then draw my Yori.
Well, you can play the otter at instant speed, put it in your hand at sorcery speed. So there's, you know, there's some advantages to the way that you can cast some of these guys, and the fact that some of them are much cheaper to cast in the first place. So you have to consider, like, this is a huge detriment to, well, okay, oh, let me use my words more carefully. It is a huge nerf to this ability. But the ability was far too strong.
It is a cost.
So my question, so, like, I'm wondering which ones are going to be, like, basically made unplayable by this. Like, the Gigantha might as well include, because I can, players are likely going to walk away from that, right? But I feel like the Lurrus decks are still interested in playing Lurrus. It slows them down by a turn.
I don't think so, because they have to spend a whole turn. Like, Burn taking an entire turn off.
Yeah. Burn probably
not even cast the card. To not even cast the card. Like, Jund taking an entire turn off to do nothing, to put a card in their hand, doesn't seem like what Jund wants to be doing. I could see the Devoted Druid deck still playing it. Because, yeah, like, that's the place I could see it. But I think a lot of the Lurrus decks, like, I don't think Jund Death Shadow keeps playing Lurrus.
It's still a free card that you can draw. 3 mana, draw a very relevant and functional card that gives you more value. I would be interested in that.
Is that functionality better than being able to play Gurmag Angler and Tassigar in your deck?
For Jund?
Death Shadow is what I meant.
Oh, Death Shadow.
And for Jund, is it better than Liliana and Blood Braid Elf? Because you get to draw a relevant card off of Blood Braid Elf. Like,
I don't know.
All the cards in your deck are relevant. If they're not, you shouldn't play them. Like,
yeah. I predict that these fringy scenarios are going to result in, like, old Jund decks and companion Jund decks being equally represented for at least the next couple of weeks. But
I agree,
we're going to find out more with more results. But I do think, like, Devoted Druid is a great example. The black-red, like, mid-rangey decks, the black-red, like, Mardu decks, basically, I feel like they might still be interested in Lurrus, just purely because those decks go hellbent so quickly. Having access to a card that's like, okay, now I've got this off the top of my deck, I can, like, rebuy whatever awesome thing I've got in my yard for it. Mishra's Bauble already fits into a lot of these, so while I don't think a lot of decks are just going to be inclined to jam 4 Baubles because you could play Lurrus, I think the decks that are already, like, slightly interested in Baubles, such as, like, anything with prowess abilities, like, they might still be interested in trying this out, and that combination is still very, very strong.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But you're right. I don't know about Burn. I guess I'm just wondering, like, Burn's another one of those decks that loses a lot of games because it just runs out of cards, right? That's the way Burn loses, aside from, like, Leyline of Sanctity or Core Firewalker or whatever. But, like, if you've got this one additional card that's just at the ready when you draw too many lands later on, like, that might make a difference in, do I kill them or do I not? And the only cost is, well, nothing for Burn, really, right? Is there any card that Burn plays that invalidates Lurrus as a companion? They just have to change their mana base, right?
I mean, it's just the mana base, really. I mean, but do you still play Mishra's Bauble in your Burn deck?
No, I don't think so. That's what I'm saying. So Burn is a deck that probably doesn't want the Baubles.
Sure. But,
I don't know.
But
that's
a
good question.
To me, it's like you have to take a whole turn off. So, like, if you're at the point with Burn where you can take a whole turn off, you're probably not winning.
Well, this gives you a glimmer of hope doesn't it? Like, if you're already not doing anything, you might as well play it or put it in your hand.
But then you have to play a terrible card in your deck and seal a fire. So, like, you're sacrificing four potential lightning bolts, like three damage effects, for four seal of fire.
You don't have to play seal of fire. You don't have to play four. Absolutely don't. But just to have a 3/2 for three mana is good. Burn has a lot of spells that deal damage to creatures. The board could be empty. Both players could be in top deck mode. Your 3/2 lifelinker is better than nothing.
Sure.
And okay, it can rebuy a Goblin Guide.
I'll give you that. Okay. I just don't think it's like... I think if Burn is taking a turn off, they're losing. So, like, I don't think this is a Burn card anymore. But, like, I could just be wrong. And it just could be like, oh, yeah, pay three mana for a card. Like, whatever. It's just too good. Yeah. But, like, yeah. I think the companion that's, like, kind of least affected by this is Yorion.
Because those decks are big mana anyway.
Well, it's not necessarily those decks are big mana, but they're slow. Because it's like, I got to put a bunch of permanents into play. And to get all the value out of Yorion, my permanents have to be in play. And to put permanents into play, I have to spend mana, and that takes time. So, like, being able to, like, play your Urzas, or your Uros, or your Gilded Geese, or your Omen of the Seas, or, you know, whatever it is, and then, like, spend the time doing that, and then, like, oh, I can fit an Omen of the Sea in on this turn where I just put Yorion in my hand. So, Yorion, play Omen, and then untap, play Yorion, blink my astrolabes and omens and creatures if I'm playing creatures in like the Soul Herder case or whatever, blink all that stuff, and like that's totally fine.
Yeah.
So I think you'll definitely see some decks go back from 80 to 60, but like I think there's a lot of like I think Yorion is the least affected of the companions.
Yeah. Well, last question for you here. You play Legacy more than I do. Is this grounds to like unban Luris and Lutri in Legacy and Vintage?
No, I don't think so. Just copying Ancestral Recall is insane in Vintage.
Mm-hmm.
Getting you can't Lotus, like turn one Lotus, Luris, Lotus stuff. But like being able to like recur Lotus every turn is so unbelievably strong that like you get to like this like net of too many cards, and it is almost impossible to like not fulfill the condition that is required of you to play Luris. Like the cards you have to cut that are important are like you cut like maybe like Dak Faden, Monastery Mentor. Maybe one or two Jaces, there's maybe one or two Teferi 3s, your one Narset, your one Karn. Like, those are the cards you're looking at cutting to enable Luris to be in your deck. And so that pushes you more towards a combo-oriented Paradoxical Outcome deck where you'll have extra mana because you have Mana Vault and Soul Ring and all this colorless mana that you can just put Luris into play to recur your Lotus, bounce it with Paradoxical Outcome, play Luris, recur your Lotus, like keep doing that.
Yeah.
So like that seems like not safe in Vintage. but I also don't think I don't think it's safe in Legacy either. Like Delver decks Delver decks are like tempo decks, so like recurring Dreadhorde Arcanist, like maybe it's safe in Legacy, but I definitely fear it not being safe.
Yeah. So going back to Modern real quick, I'm looking at the field and I'm wondering which decks are most excited about this ban, or this companion rules change, I should say. Devoted Devastation strikes me as one. It is a deck that plays Luris itself. However, like we mentioned, it's a deck that's probably interested in maintaining Luris even with the change. But with all of the burn going around and all of the there's just a lot of value and removal out there that Devoted Devastation likely has trouble keeping up with. I'd imagine that deck's pretty happy. Humans loses Giganta, too bad. Not a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
And humans has been pretty oppressed by the presence of Burn and Jund and Mardu. So I think that's another one that's going to be seeing some resurgence, as well as I think the Scape Shift and like big mana ramp decks seem to have a better shot with less aggression from those decks. So that's my take. I don't know what you think about that. Is there anything that strikes you as stands a chance to come back? Urza?
I think you hit on it. I think it's going to be, and I'm interested in just seeing like what decks keep companions is actually what I'm more excited about.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Like, what decks stay in two forms? So like I'm active on the Soul Herder Discord and I posted, hey, it's confirmed. This is what's happening to the companion. And some people were like, oh, we're going back to 60 cards. And some people were like, well, we're playing Court of Calling now, which we weren't before, and that was a big gain. And we never really had room to play all the cards we really needed to play to have access to, mm-hmm. to be a toolboxy deck. So, like, maybe we just stick with 80 and play Astrolabe and kind of move on. And so, like, people are, like, going in two different directions. And, it's like, we have to play games with it to figure out, is the 3 mana a big cost? Yeah. And so I'm interested to see what decks diverge and both versions stick around. Like, are the companions strong enough that even with this healthy change to them, that the decks diverge?
Yeah, and so that would be awesome. What I mean. Like, yeah. Not only do we have the choices of which deck to play in the meta, it's also like which version of it do you want to play? And you know, we see that a lot with certain deck styles. They have different approaches, but now this doubles the capacity for that, which is kind of cool. I think this is really what they intended with this mechanic. This is not supposed to be this thing that just takes over the competitive environments.
I think what they intended to do was something like the analogy I made a few weeks ago when we first started talking about it, where it's like there is this deck building cost, like Reno Jackson, like Highlander, like evens or odds or, you know, extra cards, whatever. Here is your condition, and if you meet it, you get this payoff that you have access to that other people don't. And some decks can totally be good without having to meet those conditions to get a payoff, and some maybe are built in such a way that the payoff is bigger for them, so they include it. And like, if your companion is really that good in your deck, maybe you just start including copies in the main deck if it doesn't affect your deck. Like, you obviously can't do that for Lurrus, which is unfortunate, because I think it'd be really cool to see a Lurrus deck. You cannot, I said.
Oh, you mean if you have Lurrus as your companion, you cannot, right? But you could play four of Lurrus in the deck if it's good enough for you. You know, I think there are decks that are going to go that route.
And that was the other thing I was interested in, is what decks are really like think that this card is good enough that they're just going to play it. I think it would be kind of cool if you could have companion Lurrus with extra Lurruses, if that effect is just good for you. But, like, I definitely would be interested to say, well, what decks think that Yorion is so good that it's going to be in their command zone and in their deck? Like, Garuda, the 6-mana one, has to be in your deck because you have to keep enabling it to keep flipping cards.
Yeah.
But, like, maybe there are other companions that go the way of potentially Yorion that it's good enough to put in my command zone or my companion zone, and maybe I want a copy or two in my main deck so I can tutor for it or just draw it naturally and cast it and have, like, 3 copies of this card.
Yeah, man. I'm curious. It's going to be interesting in the next couple of weeks. I hope that this does the right thing to this mechanic. They said they tested it extensively. Honestly, I think this response is a lot stronger than I was expecting. I think a lot of people are in the same boat. So I'm glad to see that they're taking like some big action on this to make sure that they're actually affecting the metagame and not just, purely being a road bump in these plans, because we've seen that before too, you know, with certain bans in Modern before. It's like, oh, that didn't really solve the problem. In fact, we just found a better version of the Hogak deck anyway, you know. So I think this is big enough to make a change. There are still going to be decks out there that play Lurrus. The card's insane. I wonder if, like, Obosh will continue to exist. My guess is no. Like, Obosh, Gigantha, probably.
Yeah, probably not. So here's my question, and we can leave on this. We can maybe expand it to another podcast if we need to. If this isn't good enough, where do we go from here?
Oh, God. I don't even want to think about that right now. But sure. But it's relevant.
We'll talk about it next time. We'll talk about
it. Okay. All right. 5 mana.
Maybe.
Oh, man. I hope this is good enough. I really do. I want this to work.
Yeah, me too.
All right. Well, we better wrap up. We did our lightning round. We did it. 34 minutes, Daryl. We got all our thoughts in.
Dude, that's the shortest podcast we've ever recorded.
Yeah, but just as informative.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, man. Well, we'll catch you next time on Medical.
Take it easy.
Bye.
Modern Medical is a production of CarKnockLife.com, where you can find a selection of MTG content, both written and recorded. Looking for deck primers? We've got them. Interested in videos? Try our CKL Play series, where we take the most interesting decks appearing in published results for a spin through MTGO leagues. We've got a team of talented writers specializing in a variety of formats and archetypes. To keep up with CarKnockLife offerings, you can follow us on our Facebook page, facebook.com/CarKnockLifePodcast. Thanks is due to ManaTraders.com, MTGCast.com, and TheDiscard.com for their support in making this possible, and thank you for listening, commenting, sharing, and reading CarKnock Life content.